It's wonderful to see you all out this morning to gather here as Ambassador International Church, and of course to hear God's word explained as well. It would be helpful if you could have that reading open in front of you, not the first one, but the one from Ephesians. So that's page 829 in the church Bibles that should have been handed on the way in. And we're looking this morning at Ephesians 6 and the first four verses of it under the heading Children and Parents, as we continue our studies in Ephesians under the heading overall for the series, God's New Community. Why don't I lead us in a prayer? Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to think about this subject of children and parents this morning, we acknowledge that for many of us, raising kids is one of the most challenging, if not the most challenging thing that we will have to face in life. Father, we know that children are a blessing. We know that children are a joy, that they are a good gift from you. But we also, Father, are very aware that they are a responsibility. They're a challenge. Sometimes things do not turn out exactly how we would like or expect. And so, Father, we humbly ask this morning that you would help us. We pray that you would help us to see what it means for us to live our family lives out under the Lordship of Christ. Whether we are single, whether we are married, whether we have kids, whether we do not. And so, Father, we ask for your help now, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I'm sure you would probably admit that there's a great deal of confusion and anxiety in our culture about the whole subject of raising kids. People are very confused what it means, how they ought to raise their kids, and also I think a great many of us, especially if you're here this morning and you're sort of single, you may be very anxious about the whole subject as well. Some of you will have heard of this book here, The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. I'm sure it's a firm favourite of many of you, and you'll know that I've mentioned this previously from the front of this church. So this is called The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, and basically this book basically argues the merits of one particular style of Chinese parenting. In it, the author, Amy Chua, who you can see there, gives seven core beliefs, if you like, or seven core values of the Chinese tiger mother. And I thought just to refresh your memories for some of you, and if you haven't heard them before, I thought we'd look at them this morning. So there's the first one. Schoolwork always comes first. Glad to see that the school teachers among us are like that. Schoolwork comes first. Two, an A minus is a bad grade. Make sure you follow that piece of advice. Three, your children must be 2 years ahead of their classmates in math, whatever your tiger mother needs to know. Four, you must never compliment your child in public. Five, if your child disagrees with a teacher or coach, you must always take the side of the teacher or coach. Six, the only activities your children should be permitted to do are those in which they can eventually win a medal. And of course, finally, that medal must be gold. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to work through these one by one and apply them to the congregation here. But I'm sure you would agree that they at least show that there's a great deal of confusion in our world about how to raise kids, how to bring up kids, how to parent kids. But there's also some anxiety as well. And in order to illustrate the anxiety angle of it, I'm going to talk about myself for a moment. After Amelia, our little girl, was born around about 6 months ago, I can remember coming home from the hospital being filled with joy, being filled with wonder, being filled with awe, being filled with happiness. But I can also remember going up to mid-levels to get a Indian curry with a friend of mine and being filled with fear and being filled with anxiety. So I was anxious about the responsibility that was now weighing heavily on my shoulders now that we'd brought this little girl into the world. No experience, of course, no manual came out with her, no training. And I remember being worried about how Amelia would eventually turn out. How would she be educated? Who would she marry? So many stressful things sort of thinking about. Thankfully, on that last one, Seth Bradford was born just a couple of months later on, and I drew the big sigh of relief that at least that one question was going to be okay. I'm not sure how Rachel and Ben feel about that, but there we go. I'm sure you can understand when we speak about the anxiety of raising kids. And if you're here and you have your own kids, I'm sure you know exactly what I mean. And so we come to this whole subject this morning of parenting and family life. And what we see here is God's plan for families as they are to be lived out under Christ's lordship. And that last bit is very important. What we're looking at here is not just some handy hints for raising kids. Rather, this is a holistic vision of family life as it's to be lived out under Christ's lordship. If you've been coming here for a little while, you know that as a congregation we're in the second half of the book of Ephesians, and chapters 4 to 6 in Ephesians really deal with how to live as God's people. If you like, they are the way on. Chapters 1 to 3, that's all about the way in to the Christian faith, and then chapters 4 to 6 are all about how to live as God's people, the way on. And we need to remember that the way on is not the way in. And so if you're here this morning and you aren't a Christian yet, then you need to first of all read chapters 1 to 3 and come into the way in, and after that you'll be ready to do 4 and 6, which is the way on. And so if you're here last time, we saw that Paul looked at the whole subject of wives and husbands, and I think that sermon's online if you'd like to listen. And we come this morning to turn our attention to children and parents. And these few verses break down very neatly for us. So verses 1 to 3 of chapter 6 are addressed to children, and verse 4 is addressed to parents. And this is actually relevant for all of us, I believe, whether or not we are parents this morning. All of us, of course, are children. Some of us will be parents, some of us will be grandparents, some of us would like to be parents in the future, some of us will be aunts, some of us will be uncles. And all of us, of course, have a role in raising kids as part of the local church here at Bassetter. And so this whole subject of raising kids and family life under Christ's lordship is something that we all need to know about, and we all need to learn about this morning, and so we need to be listening up. One other thing that I really feel I need to say is that I do approach this whole subject with a great deal of humility. As a father of only 6 months, I know that there are many, many people here that I'm speaking to now who have much more experience than me, and in many ways I feel would be far more qualified to actually give this sermon than I would be. I, you know there's so many lovely kids here and so many lovely people who have raised them, and so I just really hope that Amelia will one day become like them. Maybe not all of them, but some of them. So this morning we do come from very different cultures and very different upbringings as well, and so all I'd really like to do is share some thoughts from God's Word and raise some application as well for us to maybe think about and think through. So then let's start with what I've called a word to children. And so the first thing that Paul says here is that children are to obey their parents. You can see that very clearly there in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And then in the verse straight after it, in verse 2, he puts it in a slightly different way. He uses the word honour and says, honour your father and mother. I think it's immediately noteworthy that Paul actually addresses a command specifically to children. He expects that children and young people will be part of the church that he's writing to, and he has expectations of them. He has expectations that they will be able to understand and be obedient to God's word for them. And so in summary, we could say that he commands children to obey and honour their parents in the Lord. Obey and honour your parents in the Lord. And I'm sure you probably noticed that he then goes on to give four reasons for this command. So first of all, he says that it's right according to nature. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think it's just simply the right thing to happen for kids to obey their parents. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He's saying there's a sort of universal law that applies to all cultures, for all time, everywhere, that it is basically right for children to be obedient to their parents. Then he also says that it's part of God's law as well. So he quotes from the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, where it says, honour your father and mother. So it says we should obey our parents because it's part of God's law. He also says children are to obey their parents because of the gospel. He says there that children are to obey your parents in the Lord. So it's part of a child's love for Christ. It's part of a child's commitment to Christ. It's part of a young person's discipleship to Christ that they would honour their father and mother, that they would obey in the Lord. And then I think finally he says that children are to obey their parents simply because life works a lot better like that. So again, he quotes the Ten Commandments in verse 3, where it says that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And I think what he's basically saying there is that children are to obey their parents because life will go much better for them and for the rest of culture and society as well. If that happens, they will grow up stable and secure and well-rounded and well-adjusted. It's not saying that will always be true, that it's a 100% guarantee in every single case, but I think it's just a sort of a general broad observation that where children are obeying their parents, that society will be more stable, and also that it's more likely that life will work out for them, and that they might be spared some of the self-inflicted harm and self-inflicted pain that can actually happen if we refuse to go God's way in life. So then we have this basic command that children are to obey and honour their parents in the Lord. But obviously the nitty-gritty here really comes when we have to begin to think about the application for us. And immediately I think all sorts of questions begin to occur in our minds. I think, what does this actually mean? Is this saying that I will still have to be obedient to my parents when I'm old, when I'm 25, when I'm 40 maybe? What if my mum and dad aren't Christians? What does this mean then? What does it mean for me to honour my parents right now if I'm living in Hong Kong and I'm miles away from home, maybe? And so we have to do a little bit of further thinking, I think, about what this actually means for us. And I think the first thing that we need to say is it means that younger children are to obey. So for younger children, they are to obey. We need to apply that command in the first verse, where it says, children, obey your parents. Now, I immediately understand that this is a little bit irrelevant in one sense, because all the people who really need to be hearing this actually left about 5 minutes ago. But who I think Paul has in mind here are basically children who are old enough to understand, but who are still dependent on their parents at home. So old enough to understand, but still dependent on their parents at home. And so it's saying that, you know, if you're eating your parents' food, if they're putting a roof over your head, if they're paying the heating bills or the water bills, and you are living there and not paying rent, then this should probably apply to you. It's saying that basically a child should be obedient to their parents until they become a grown-up, until they become this sort of independent adult, which in most Western countries, I guess, is taken around about 18. And even if you aren't from a Western country, there's sort of still a sort of a recognition at a particular point when a child becomes an adult. And what Paul says here is that children like that are to obey. And so I think one application here is for those of us who are parents. And the application is that if you are a parent, then it is right to teach and expect your children to obey you. That's not something strange, that's not something weird, that's not you infringing on their rights, that's not something that's going to stifle them or stunt them, but actually that is right and natural and ultimately comes from God. It's right to expect your children to be obedient to you. This is what one older Christian author, J.C. Ryle, had to say in his little book on parenting. Children cannot learn too soon that this is a world in which we are not intended to rule, and that we are never in a right place until we learn how to obey. Teach them to obey while they are young, or else they will be fretting against God all their lives long and wear themselves out with the vain idea of being independent of his control. I think what he's saying there is basically that children need to learn to obey when they are young, because it will really help them in later life. Will really help them in later life. Obedience to parents is good and right, and actually lays the very important foundation for how we relate to God as well. In one sense, parents are the agents of God, really, and a lot of his care and love and help and nurture is actually mediated through our parents. He's our Heavenly Father, and we learn to be obedient to him in very many cases by actually obeying our parents in a healthy family context. So it says, children are to obey in the Lord. Then I think another application of this is that we all need to honour our parents no matter what stage of life we are at. So if you think about it, obedience, well, that's really just for a limited stage. But actually the command to honour our father and mother lasts for a lifetime. And that's true, no matter how old we are, no matter how old you are, you're still to honour your father and mother. So then what about those of us who are grown up, children? What does it mean for us to honour our parents? Well, there's lots of things we could think about here. I'd like to summarise just a few things in terms of three C's. So three C's: contact, counsel and care. Okay? First of all, contact. Honouring your father and mother actually means being in contact with them. Okay? Now there's a number of ways you can carry this one out. You can use things like email, you can use your phone, you can write letters if you would like. But I think if many of us spoke to our mums more regularly and we asked them what they would like us to actually do to honour them more, I'm sure quite a lot would probably say we could be in contact with them a little bit more often, whether that's through Skype or email, or if we live here in Hong Kong, maybe actually spending some physical time with them as well if we happen to live away from home. So the first thing that honouring your parents means if you are older, I think, is contact. Then the next thing that honouring our parents means is counsel. This means asking the advice of our parents. It means listening to what they have to actually say. It means respecting the years of wisdom and experience which they have accumulated. I think it is worth saying at this point that to honour our parents is not necessarily saying that we will always have to be obedient to them. So there may be occasions when parents might try and influence our choice of career, maybe. It may be that there'll be occasions when they might influence how we spend our money. It may be that there'll be occasions when they will influence our choice of marriage partner, maybe. And in those circumstances, I'm not sure that there's a Christian obligation on someone to obey. Now, especially if our mums and dads are Christians, we are going to want to listen to their advice very carefully. We are going to want to respect that. We are going to want to give weight to it. We are going to want to take it on board. We are going to want to keep the peace, all of those things. But I think that some of those major life choices which we're making as grown-ups are ones that we need to make on our own with God's help, and therefore are not ones in which we absolutely have to obey our parents in. So there's contact and there's counsel. I think the final way that we are to honour our parents is with what I would call care. So we are to care for our parents when they get older and frail and more vulnerable. So 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So a very stern warning from Paul that we are to care for our families and our relatives. Now this is going to look slightly different from one culture to the next, and there's no set way of or standard way of doing it which is laid down in Scripture. But Paul is very clear that actually Christians have got an obligation to care for and look after their frail and elderly parents. So then, contact, counsel and care. Now, I know that the Confucian ideal of filial piety is, of course, very deeply ingrained in Asian culture. And so if you're from that particular culture, then you're going to have to think through very carefully what actually to be a Christian son or daughter means in an Asian context. And some of these issues are going to be very hard and very tricky, especially maybe when your parents and you were sort of brought up in different cultures, maybe, and therefore have different ideas as a result. And so we need to always ask for God's wisdom and God's power and God's help to help us with what can be some very tricky family issues. I think we also need to bear in mind and remember what Christ himself said, though, that our greatest loyalty in life is not actually to our physical families, but is to him. So Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Very challenging words indeed from the lips of Christ. And so what Jesus is saying there is that ultimately we have to submit to him. Ultimately, here's where our ultimate loyalty lies. Now that means we're never going to want to cause strife, But there may be occasions when what our family would want us to actually do is going to be in conflict with what Christ would want us to actually do. And when occasions like that arise in life, we need to go with Christ. We need to honour him. And sometimes following Christ will lead to parental disapproval or even outright rejection. And we need to be ready for that. We need to remember that obedience to parents is limited. We are to respect our parents, we are to honour our parents, we are to love our parents, we are to obey our parents when we're kids, where possible. But our unlimited obedience belongs only to God and only to Christ. So then, children are to honour their parents. And so, how are we honouring our parents at the moment? Is there anything that maybe we need to change if we are to honour our parents more as God would want in the coming week? So first of all, we have a word to children, and then secondly we also have a word to parents. And here we see that parents are to bring up their children in the Lord, and this leads us to verse 4. It says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." I'm not quite sure why this is only addressed to fathers. Maybe because they would be the head of the household, so they take ultimately responsibility for things. But the word here can also refer to fathers and mothers, and so I think that is probably an appropriate way to actually take it here. This is maybe addressed to both parents, fathers and mothers, even if the father ends up having some sort of ultimate responsibility for it as head of the household. And so the basic command here is that we would raise our children in the Lord. The parents would raise their children in the Lord. I've got both a negative and a positive command, and the negative command is that parents are not to exasperate their kids. Other versions, it says parents are not to provoke or to goad their kids. It's similar to what we read in Colossians 3 and verse 21. It says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged." Very similar, I think, to what it's saying there in Colossians. In the ancient world, of course, fathers were notoriously harsh and notoriously strict in the way that they ruled their households. And here I think Paul's basically warning against that. He says, make sure you don't frustrate or exasperate your kids in how you bring them up. We're not to harm our kids emotionally or spiritually, maybe through being overly strict or overly harsh with them through our words or through our actions. Maybe certainly it's not good to be too lax on being strict, but equally you can also be overly strict as well. I think what Paul's saying in these verses is that we need to get the right sort of equilibrium between love and discipline. This is what John Stott has to say about this verse. He says, "How many angry young men, hostile to society at large, have learned their hostility as children in an unsympathetic home?" Very wise words, I think, of the possible implications of people frustrating or exasperating or goading their kids. And so I think there is a word of warning for those of us here who are parents. Frustrating our kids might look like nagging them, might look like constantly criticising them, might look like being cruel or overly harsh in the way that we exercise discipline in the home, might look like speaking about them in a way which is not kind. It might look like mocking them maybe, or just a general atmosphere of condemnation around the house, or a feeling maybe that they are an inconvenience or not wanted. It might look like being excessively strict, being unreasonable in our expectations maybe, or maybe just being plain old irritable and inconsistent. And maybe we can think about ourselves and the way that we were raised. Maybe we can think about other people that we know, and we can maybe realise the harm that actually some of these excesses in parenting can actually have. And so Paul here would say, in a very loving and very kind way to each of us, to make sure that we do not frustrate or exasperate our kids by how we raise them. Instead, positively, he says we are to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's the last phrase there, and I think this means what I've been speaking about already, that we need the right blend of love and discipline. When it says bring them up, the word there for bring them up literally means to nurture them, it means to nourish them, it means to raise a plant in a way that it flowers and blooms and produces fruit, it means to care for them. It's actually, very interestingly, the same word which we saw last time from Ephesians 5 and verse 29, where it speaks there about a husband nourishing or caring for his own body, or Christ nourishing and caring for the church. It's very interesting that it's actually the same word which is used. And so what Paul seems to be saying here is that we should nourish or nurture or care for our kids. We should treat our kids with the same love and nourishment and care with which we treat ourselves. We should nurture them with the same love, actually, that Christ has for his bride, the church. Christ loves us. Christ wants what is best for us, according to the personalities and the skills that we have. Christ loves us unconditionally, even when we fail and fall and mess up and let him down. And then we can see Christ's love for us in a very practical, clear way when he sacrificed himself on the cross, coming to earth to die for us. And so all of these things, therefore, we can say should also be reflected in our love for our kids. We should love our kids according to the personalities and the skills which they have, and not just try and make them into carbon copies of ourselves, maybe. We should love them unconditionally, even when they mess up and fail. We should take every opportunity we can, maybe, to show our love for them in a practical way that our kids will understand and that will really communicate to their hearts. It might mean more time being spent with them. It might mean more appropriate physical contact, more hugs, maybe. It might mean just listening to them and being with them and appreciating them and making sure that our kids know that we do love them. And then Paul also says that raising kids takes discipline. I think that's what he means by that phrase, training and instruction of the Lord. The word for training there means to set guidelines and give reproof where it is necessary. And then the word instruction means verbal sort of instruction and verbal warnings. And so Paul's saying exactly the same as what we find in all the parenting manuals, which is that any healthy child requires guidelines and rules and boundaries that need to be clear and set and enforced if they are to really grow up and be nourished and flourish. So it's basically saying parents, love and discipline your kids. But again, what does this actually look like? What does it mean practically to love our kids and raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? And there's loads that we could say on this topic. I've put a few books too on the reading list on your service sheets, which deal with far more than I ever can, but there's a few things that I'd like to share with you as we begin to draw to a close. And the first thing I'd like us to ask is, do we have loving goals for our kids? Do we have loving goals for our kids, or are we actually overly influenced by the culture around us? So the world has all sorts of goals for kids. If you think about the culture here in Hong Kong, maybe many would say that they have material goals for their kids. So the most important thing is that the kid has a lot of stuff. Others have educational goals for their kids. They want them to go to this particular school or this particular university, and they would pressurize their kids maybe to work harder and harder in order to achieve that. Some parents have skills goals for their kids. They really want them to learn this particular sport. They really want them to be able to play this particular musical instrument. They really want them to be part of this group. And they're constantly going around 101 clubs and after school activities. Some maybe have career goals for their kids. Shortly after I arrived here in Hong Kong, I was speaking with someone who's not actually part of this church. And he was saying how he, in his heart, really wanted to study a particular subject at university, but his father just wouldn't let him. His father said that he had to do business studies with accountancy. Nothing wrong with that. He said that his father had to do business studies or accountancy, and he wouldn't pay for him to go to university unless he did that particular course. And it was really obvious to me through the conversation with him that this guy wasn't interested in business studies and accountancy at all. Not a bit. And he was hating every minute of the course he was actually doing, but yet that was what his father had forced him to actually do, and therefore he felt an obligation to go through with it. And I remember thinking how desperately sad that was, that his father had basically imposed his will on his son in that way, and all he was really doing was actually ruining his relationship with him, and not allowing this guy to feel fulfilled and free and pursue what he really wanted to. This passage here reminds us that as Christian parents, we are primarily to nurture our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. That means that spiritual goals for our kids will surely take priority. It means that we will make sure that the goals that we have for our kids are the same as God's goals for our kids, which are laid down in His Word. It means that we will place our children into His hands, that we will entrust our children into God's loving care. It means that we will allow Him to make Him to be the people that He wants them to be through the power of His Holy Spirit. And of course, the most important thing of all is that they would ultimately come to know Him, who is life itself. So maybe the first question we can ask ourselves is, do we have loving Christian biblical goals for our kids, or are we somewhere along the line being overly influenced by the goals that the world around us would try and impose on us? Then are we reading God's word with our kids? Are we reading the Bible with our kids? 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, Paul says about Timothy, how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ. So this guy, Timothy, he had known the Holy Scriptures from infancy. Very important. And so we are to teach the Holy Scriptures from infancy. Of course, some people say, well, you know, kids don't really understand all that stuff until they're much later. It's far too complicated for them to comprehend. But I think that's just simply not actually true. Rather, I think kids have an enormous capacity to understand God and His Word. Jesus himself, of course, said that little children were to come to Him. There are some kids who make a commitment to Christ, which is clear and genuine when they are really young, and they clearly and obviously understand what they are actually doing. Now, of course, it has to be age appropriate. So, this is what we're doing with little Amelia at the moment. This is a book about creation, and it's got one word on each page. So I can read the whole story to you in about 5 seconds. Dark, light, wet, dry, plants, trees, sun, moon, fish, birds, animals, and people. Boom. And she's going to learn the story of creation. And what's nice about this, there are things in it. You can stroke the sort of different things. There's a sort of a shiny bit for the sun. There's a wooden bit for the trees. There's like a dry bit, you know, for the earth. Now, how much is she actually learning? I'm not really sure, but we want her to begin the process of actually learning God's word from the earliest possible age, and so we read that with her every evening. So I wonder, are you reading the Bible with your kids in an age-appropriate way? Are you doing that? Something else, are you being a good example for your kids? Are you being a good example? This is talking about the power of imitation. Most people acknowledge what seems to be self-evident and obvious, that actually what children see has a far greater impact on them than what we actually say verbally. A major way that the child learns, of course, is by imitating mum and dad. If a child sees mum and dad reading God's word, then they learn to read God's word. If a child sees mum and dad praying, then they learn to pray. If a child sees mum and dad honouring and respecting one another, then they learn to honour and respecting one another. If a child sees mum and dad speaking about God, then they learn to speak about God. If a child sees mum and dad are enthusiastic about things going on at church, then they also learn to be enthusiastic about things going on at church. But if they never ever see mum or dad doing any of those things, then we can't really be surprised that no amount of speaking and instructing them to do those things verbally will ever get through to them. So imitation is very important. Are we being a good example for our kids? We could talk about lots of other things as well. Are we praying with our kids? And again, fathers need to be involved in that, not just something that mums are to actually do, but as fathers, we're to pray with our kids in a loving concerned ways of that they grow up learning that that they can bring everything that happens to them in life to their Father who is in heaven. So lots of different ideas maybe to think about, and I'm sure you could add lots of your own as well. Now, I do recognise that with any sermon like this, there's always a big danger that we just end up feeling guilty and reminded of lots of things that we know that we should be doing and aren't doing or haven't been doing. But I really do not think that God would want that for us this morning. We need to remember that God can work in us and through us, no matter how imperfectly we actually try. And also need to know it's never too late to actually start or restart doing some of these things with your kids this coming week. A lot more we could say, but what I really want you to try and take away is the main point about what we've been thinking about, that God's design for families is that they would be lived under Christ's lordship. That our families, that as a church family, that would be lived under Christ's lordship with reference to him. Children who obey and honour their parents, and parents who are seeking to raise kids in the training and instruction of the Lord. So as we close, I'd just like to pick up for a few moments that little phrase, in the Lord, that we see at the end of verse 1 and verse 4. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. And verse 4, that parents are to bring up children in the training and instruction of the Lord. And that really does underline that all this is to be done in the Lord. It's to be with reference to Christ, Christ's love that we have been thinking about, Christ's lordship, following him. This is not just some rules, it's not just some handy hints for parenting, rather it's a whole new worldview, a whole new paradigm, a whole new way of looking at things where Jesus is Lord. If we are Christians, then Jesus is to be Lord of our work, he's to be Lord of our relationships, Lord of our leisure, and also Lord of our home lives as well. And so it's actually tremendously encouraging. We have to go away from here feeling guilty, thinking that we could never live up to it, or we haven't lived up to it. Because if we are Christians, we know that Jesus is with us. We know that he's with us to help us. We know that he's with us to forgive us when we've failed. He's with us to transform us and to change us, to make us into much better parents or grandparents or uncles or aunties. The wonderful thing is he's at work in our kids as well, to make them into better kids, to help them live with and maybe work through some of the mistakes which we have made. And so we need to remember that this is not just offering some rules, but actually it's offering us a relationship with someone who's really able to help us and to give us all the strength and the help which we need as parents. And so whether you're a Christian or not, I really hope there's been some good advice on parenting for you this morning. But actually, what we all need so much more than that is to live our lives under Christ's lordship, experiencing his help, experiencing his power, experiencing his forgiveness. And we can start to do all those things as soon as we put our trust in him. So are you living your family life under the lordship of Christ this morning? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to give thanks for your word, and we want to ask for your help with our responsibilities as children and as parents. Help us to honour our parents and help us to raise our children in the Lord. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for those areas where we maybe feel that we've failed. We ask for your strength in those areas where we feel maybe particularly weak at the moment. Father, we pray that as a church of your people that we would be able to support one another in the whole task of raising kids. Father, we ask for the families here at Ambassador that they would be strong, that our kids would grow up to know you, that we would be able to resist the world and its expectations of our kids, and instead to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father, we pray that you'd help us to do all these things, not for ourselves or for our own image, but rather for your glory. And we ask all these things now in Christ's name. Amen.